In the 1980s, architects began to design buildings with energy efficiency in mind. One of the ways they did this was to create structures with a tighter envelope or less ventilation. Around the same time, the first reports of sick building syndrome surfaced. Sick building syndrome was the term used to describe a cluster of symptoms experienced by people who spent their days in environments heavy in pollutants, such as nitrogen dioxide, VOCs, volatile organic compounds, and allergens. Employers grew concerned about this mystery illness as it was increasingly linked to diminished productivity and lost profits. There was also widespread apprehension over the implications for the long-term health of people who worked in environments constructed with materials made of toxic chemicals. It was out of this concern that the green building movement grew. In 2015, a team of researchers led by Joseph Allen at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health set out to collect data on the impact of sick building environments on the cognitive functioning of their occupants and to test the impact of various green building standards. To do this, they set up a double-blind study. Even the researchers didn't know which people were in which group, involving 24 Syracuse-area professionals. These architects, programmers, and creative marketing professionals went to work in simulated building conditions at the Total Indoor Environmental Quality Laboratory at the Syracuse Center of Excellence in Environmental and Energy Systems. They spent 6 full workdays, 9 to 5, with a 45-minute lunch break spent in a room adjacent to their workspace, and offices that simulated conditions of green, green plus, better ventilated than the regular green condition, or conventional offices. At the end of each day, the study participants were administered tests designed to assess their cognitive functioning. The researchers determined that cognitive scores were 61% higher in the simulated green building and 101% higher in the green plus environment than in the conventional buildings. All 9 cognitive domains that were tested scored higher in the green or green plus buildings, with the biggest increases in functioning demonstrated in crisis response, 97% higher in green and 131% higher in green plus, strategy 183% higher and 288% higher, and information usage 172% higher and 299% higher. This study is regarded as a game changer for people in the construction industry, as well as most forward-thinking, productivity-minded businesses that invest in healthy buildings for their employees. It offers evidence that the materials used to construct a building have a measurable impact on the people who work in that building. Indoor environmental quality is now a massive priority for businesses. Genentech, Kaiser, Google, Salesforce, Facebook all are investing significant resources to the tune of billions of dollars in creating green workspaces. And in top-tier leadership training programs, such as those at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health and the Harvard Kennedy School, students are learning to include these considerations in their planning and decision-making processes. Take the case of industrial engineer Ray Anderson. In 1973, he founded the company Interface to produce carpet tiles in America for institutional settings. The idea was to create new chemicals and materials following the common practices of the time, practices that paid little attention to the toxic impact these chemicals might have on the environment or the lives of the manufacturers and end users. Everyone was doing business this way. It was the accepted, dominant model. 20 years later, while reading Paul Hawkins' book, The Ecology of Commerce, Anderson was struck by what then seemed a crazy suggestion, that business was the cause and also the only possible solution to the environmental catastrophe. In fact, in The Ecology of Commerce, Hawkins cites Ray Anderson and Interface, by name, as an example of unmitigated plunderers. In his 2009 TED Talk, Anderson spoke about the unexpected impact this had on his life. Rather than double down on his position as acting within the agreed-upon norms of his time, he heard this critique as a moment of sanity and an insane system, and as a call to action. He made the pledge to take from the earth only what could be renewed, and to do no harm to the biosphere. If Hawken is right, and business and industry must lead, who will lead business and industry? He asked. As a self-described recovering plunderer, Anderson saw the need to step up and lead his company to a new way of doing business.